the two things which are changing the warfare at a very, very, you know, fast pace and in a very, very dramatic way are the drone warfare and the information warfare. Earlier days, it used to be very, very simple with leaflets and maybe a radio or something. And now it became a print media as well as the electronic media. Now it is a digital era warfare. And it's become very, very important. What is happening is, you know, is shaping the narrative. You know, whoever takes the lead, shapes the narrative and gets legitimacy and acceptance from the domestic as well as global players. Also, it is affecting the civilian minds. So, in other words, the effect on the warfare is heavy of this information warfare. It is emerging as a separate domain of warfare, actually. The warfare is not restricted to military only. The civil-military boundary is getting blurred. In the sense, civilians are equally affected by kinetic and non-kinetic both. That means your kinetic means either drone or long-range vectors, so you can get hit anywhere. Or non-kinetic means cyber attacks and information warfare, you can get affected. So that is what the changes are taking place because of these two.
Welcome to DSCI Security Chip Podcast, the series which you have been watching since long, which is indeed a privilege and honor to host today, highly decorated officer of Indian Air Force, who is known for his writings. He's an author. He has been in the forefront of designing, you know, war plans for the Indian Air Force and for the three services as well because of his experience. He's a former vice chief of Indian Air Force. So we welcome Air Marshal Anil Khosla. Sir, welcome to this podcast, sir. And with your kind of experience, the two things are coming out very clearly. That today, warfare is changing. And with the conventional warfare, which we have seen in the land, sea and air, now this warfare, we have seen two aspects emerging out. One is drone warfare, sir. And second one is, sir, the information warfare, which we generally call in the civil terms of propaganda warfare. So I would like to know from you, how have these two evolved and how are they transforming the nature of contemporary conflicts compared to traditional military, what we say is a known to the world. But these two aspects, how they have evolved, sir?
Thank you, Devesh. I fondly remember when I worked with you in Air Headquarter, and I remember we sorted out quite a few cyber issues of the Indian Air Force together. I very fondly remember that phase. And you're doing an excellent job in DSCI, and DSCI is also doing a human service. Thank you for inviting me for the podcast. And you brought out a very, very relevant aspect. The two things which are changing the warfare at a very, very, you know, fast pace and in a very, very dramatic way are the drone warfare and the information warfare, which you referred to. So drone warfare, actually drone is a very, very generic term. I mean, people use it very, very loosely, from a small quadcopter to handheld to big ones with armed and heavy weapons and which can fly for very long endurance and range. So I prefer calling them unmanned platforms. And unmanned platforms in all domains, air domain, on the land, as well as sea, water and underwater. Anyway, unmanned platforms. So they are really proliferating in the warfare. And from earlier days when they were only restricted to ISR, now they become a force multiplier, they become a necessity, they become a combat enablers, very important combat enablers. Earlier days, their survivability itself used to be doubtful in a contested airspace. But now, they are shaping the airspace for air operations. And what is happening is the four sort of technologies which are shaping this drone warfare are the artificial intelligence, quantum computing, your miniaturization and robotics. So these combined are producing drones which are, you know, which can take on a lot of roles. Coming to the information warfare, I remember earlier days it used to be very, very simple with leaflets and maybe a radio or something. And now it has become, it became a print media as well as the electronic media. Now it is a digital era warfare and it's become very, very important. What is happening is, you know, is shaping the narrative. You know, whoever takes the lead, shapes the narrative and gets legitimacy and acceptance from the domestic as well as global players. Also, it is affecting the civilian minds. So, in other words, the effect on the warfare is heavy of this information warfare. It is emerging as a separate domain of warfare, actually. And you will know better because you handled cyber so many times, and this is a expanded version of cyber warfare. And what is happening in overall war because of these two is that, you know, sort of drones are taking over the task which were very, very risky earlier. And sort of a punitive action is being taken place by the drones rather than, you know, human intervention and what we call no contact warfare. Exactly. You know, so that sort of a thing. And of course, the second major effect of this is that the warfare is not restricted to military only. The civil-military boundary is getting blurred. Right. In the sense, civilians are equally affected by kinetic and non-kinetic both. That means your kinetic means either drone or long-range vectors, you can hit anywhere. Or non-kinetic means cyber attacks and information warfare, you can get affected. So that is what the changes are taking place because of these two.
Sir, very well said, sir. But I want to know from you, sir, when we talk about the drone warfare, and definitely this element coming into the conventional warfare. So this must be impacting the modern military strategies now, and it is also going to affect the duration and intensity of conflict. So what are your views on that part, sir?
Yeah, yeah, very important point. Actually, you know, like earlier days, used to say that wars are very prolonged, like world wars, it carries on for years. Then an era came that there are short and swift and intense wars. Okay, and everyone is to prepare accordingly. Now again, it has gone into a warfare which gets prolonged. But it is not the same intensity.
Yeah.
The intensity keeps changing. So what happens is it's a sort of a boxing match, you know, where the heavyweight boxers are, you know, going around in round 1, 2, 3, 4, up to 10. They're tired. They keep going round and round and throw punches at each other at frequent intervals. The intensity keeps varying. So plus, as I said earlier, no contact warfare. So sort of a punitive warfare is happening because of the drone warfare. You know, you throw a punch, then the opponent throws a heavier punch or sort of a punitive strike. Along with drones, he hits you with some missiles. So that is what is happening in the warfare. Second thing is, we talked about information warfare. So what happens is the legitimacy or the support, domestic and global, is very important. So moment the war starts, actually before the war starts, you start, you know, shaping the narrative that, okay, what I'm doing is legitimate. Like Russia, Ukraine, you mentioned, you know, the US paints a picture that the Russia's offensive, he's trying to get his glory back and, you know, trying to usurp Ukraine. Whereas the Russian narrative is that your Cold War is over, NATO has got no role, you're coming next to my door, you're putting weapons next to my door. That's a red line for me.
Yeah.
So I have to save my sovereignty. So, you know, the narrative and both are sound legitimate. So that is what is happening in the war.
It's a very apt thing you have mentioned. But sir, tell me one thing, like when said we are using drones, do you think it is influencing something, say asymmetric warfare kind of a thing? And when smaller nations or group, non-state actors, or you can say, they can also leverage these drones to compete with, say, more powerful adversaries. And when you see this asymmetric thing happening, so any small group of people, whether terrorist organization, they can also use the drones and whatever they want to do. And how has the widespread availability of drones to, as I mentioned, to non-state actors, such as insurgent groups, and we have seen it, changed the nature of conflicts? This is what I want to know.
Yeah. You touched very important aspect of drone warfare, Devesh. So one is, you know, the term used being used by the strategists is the war is getting democratized.
Yeah.
So democratization of war means that drones are, when you say drones, as I said earlier, you know, the drones are various, this thing. But the cheaper ones which are available off the shelf. So it is becoming democratized in the sense that smaller nations who don't have big air forces, big military, not much of military spending, they are able to challenge bigger powers by these drones. But if you remember a week back, Air Chief, he said a sentence that the drones are irritants.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. So that is what is happening. So, but the smaller nations are able to challenge the bigger nations by these smaller drones, although they may be irritant.
Yeah.
But in the public domain, you know, it feels as if you are challenging the this thing and you are air superiority or whatever you talk of is got, no, they are able to penetrate the bigger nation and cause some damage.
And also, sir, weaponizing of drones is also taking place. Now, it's on the payload, whether it's a small drone or a, because now the technology is such, you can have ISR drones which can be small because chip size is small, the circuitry is collapsible, and I can, whatever I can lift, I can weaponize it. So if we see a small drone, the cost is negligible when we compare to the fighter aircraft. Yeah. I think this thing is a very, very important thing to be understood by all. And I would like to know from you, sir, what kind of countermeasure and defense strategies should be developed to mitigate this kind of threat which I mentioned? And what kind of risk of drone proliferation? And how can governments or organizations manage these challenges which you just mentioned, sir?
Yeah. So you brought in a lot of questions in that. I'll just finish the previous one a bit. We talked about the non, smaller nations. Then you mentioned about non-state actors and, terrorist organizations. Yes. Which is happening. Yes. And you mentioned just now, weaponization is taking place. So we'll link the two. Right. Then every day at the border, Punjab border especially, and those Rajasthan border, you find smuggling taking place of narcotics and weapons. Yes.
Even so, the U.S. and Mexico border.
It So that proliferation, the off-the-shelf which is available, and it can be easily modified for ISR is very, very simple. Yes. You just put a camera, but if you can weaponize it also. So very rightly you brought out. So next is, controlling this. Yeah. Now controlling it's not an easy job. So governments are struggling world over. The cases have happened where the drones have been spotted on a very, very important events. VIPs are there. The drone has proliferated. In our case, if you remember a few years back when you were also serving, Indira Gandhi Airport.
Yes.
traffic got disrupted because the drones were spotted. And Indian Air Force stepped in a big way with the helicopter, ORP and whatnot. So governments are, first is the anti-drone technology which is coming in. So the research is going on, soft kill as well as hard kill. It will be interesting. Some of the countries even experimented with birds.
Yes.
Training the birds to catch the small drones.
Yes, yes, yes.
Then the nets, then directed energy weapons are coming in. So all that, that is your anti-drone technology and weapon systems. Second is regulatory.
Yeah.
So licensing, registering. So that is happening in India also. That whatever you bring in, you have to get it licensed, you have to categorize it, what sort of a drone is it, where are you going to use it, and register it, so that proliferation doesn't take place. Third part is very important. That is responsibility and accountability of saving the VABPs. So whichever agency, it's not the Indian Air Force can be everywhere and it's this thing. Whichever agency is looking after the VABP, it is this. Now if you see, Davesh, if you travel, lot of defense and DRDO establishments, you find stickers outside. This is a no drone zone. Right. Correct. So that is
regular. We wrote the rules. If you recollect, I vaguely remember, we wrote the rules ki near the defense area, you should not fly.
Yeah.
When the rules were being framed, you were the DGO at that time. I remember that, sir.
IAF had a big role in this.
Yes, yes.
So, this the challenges for the governments. You see, drones are coming in a big way for defense. As a technology is a good gadget, but a bad weapon.
Yes, yes.
So you have to allow the good drones to fly. And the bad drones, you have to restrict.
So, sir, in your opinion, now drone has become a weapon. So, in India or world over, except US, the weapons are to be kept by the people in their home. If you are for personal use, they have to take a license.
Correct.
So, because drone is now a general purpose, I'll put it, the device which can be used. It can be, I can say it, a dual use technology for, taking pictures in events or in marriages. And to be used in the warlike situation.
Yeah.
So, if somebody is keeping it, we don't know for what purpose he is keeping it, how do they weaponize it. So, it becomes mandatory in the government to actually, what you said, licensing is very, very important. It's like a weapon we should treat now. It should come under the gamut of some rules. It's a weapon.
Yeah.
So, you cannot keep it. Mm. And some kind of distinction has to be made between the smaller, like we had a UAV. UAV is a big bird you're controlling. Now, as you rightly said, drone is a very general word, be a generic word. But now, do it yourself. Recently, sir, I saw a picture of United States, U.S. President, and his security was carrying a small little drone in the hand.
Yeah.
And tomorrow, I will not be surprised when the Prime Minister is moving and his team is also carrying a small little drone.
Yeah.
And we don't know whether it's a weaponized drone and he will leave it when in case of some attack takes place or something.
Yeah.
So, there's something very interesting, sir.
Yeah.
So, sir, I would like to know, you have already mentioned actually, but I would like you amplify this. You said something about the AI. So, how the emerging technologies like AI, when they get integrated with drones, and what implications does this have for future conflict? Because now I will use weaponization of drone. Now I'm saying weaponization of AI when integrated with drones. So looking ahead, how might drone technology today continue to evolve and redefine, again I say redefine warfare in the next decade? This I wanted to know from you.
Yeah. So what is happening is, you know, drone warfare is heading in two directions.
Sir.
One is the swarm technology.
Correct.
A whole lot of small drones. Yeah. US had, you know, long time back declared that they have a drone which is the size of a palm. And now, rightly speaking, micro drones are available. Chinese recently have declared they have a drone which is the size of an insect.
Yes, yes.
Okay, you talked about weaponization. I remember seeing a company giving a presentation of drone warfare long time back, about a few years back, that a man comes, he releases about 20 odd drones from a bag and he walks off.
Yeah.
Okay, these are all autonomous. So these drones, there is a meeting going on in a hall with about hundreds of people. So half of these drones, you know, go on the wall and make a circle and explode. A small hole is created.
Yes, yes.
And the rest of the killer drones enter that hall. They are like flies flying on top. And the artificial intelligence, they have a face recognition. The targets are known. They identify the targets, whatever 8 or 10 targets they want to attack. There's not much of weapon in it. That drone itself is a weapon. It goes and strikes on the forehead.
Yes, yes.
And
yes.
It's a clean, incisive entry into the skull and into the brain. And inside the brain, small explosion takes place in the man. The blood also doesn't ooze out. I mean, it's scary.
Sir, it's a game of inertia, no? Like, the aircraft goes down with the bird hit.
Yeah.
It's a similar kind of thing. So, it's a velocity and not the size.
So, it's very, very scary. So, that is what is happening.
Interesting.
You mentioned AI. Anti-drone technology, AI is coming in a big way. Because the drones, low observable drones, their signature is very low. Radar, acoustics, thermal, whatever signature. So, you need multiple sensors. Now, when multiple sensors come in, the data will be quite a bit. So, to analyze it and to give us some sort of a situational awareness picture, AI comes in. So, it's coming in both ways, for improving the drone operations as well as for anti-drone operations.
Thank you, sir. And sir, I would now move to the next dimension. So, we'll talk about this, sir, information warfare. In your opinion, sir, like what are some of the most common modern ways of information is being used as a tool or a weapon in modern conflict? This is one part, sir. And how do misinformation and disinformation? So, I want to know the impact. I have already discussed both military operation and civil population. So, because information is a cognitive warfare, sir.
Yeah.
So, you are impacting the mind of the people. And if you recollect, sir, after the Opsindur, while Opsindur was going on, they pumped in so much of misinformation. The military services in India still are thinking information warfare is okay. We don't want to fight a Twitter warfare. We are there to win the war. But I think, sir, world doesn't know have you won or not won, because nobody is there in the battle space. But information widely travels.
So yeah.
I personally feel, sir, misinformation, disinformation, if you can throw some light on this aspect.
Yeah, yeah. So misinformation, disinformation has become a big issue at the moment. And not only in war, in peacetime also. You know, all the countries, elections, if you see, after that, the discussion starts. How so-and-so other country deepfake has affected the outcome of the election itself.
True, sir.
Okay, now closer home also, if you see every day on social media, videos are coming out now, AI generated.
Deepfakes.
Deep state. And they look so realistic. I mean, they can take your picture and make it talk and make it dance and make it do what else. So, it sounds very, very realistic. Voice synthesis is coming in.
Yes.
You know, the crime is taking place. People are ringing up the relatives and the voice synthesis of their actual relatives. You know, the son saying that I need money, I need something. So, that sort of crime is taking place. War also, misinformation, disinformation is, China has mastered the art of information warfare. Their philosophy of Sun Tzu was that win the war without fighting, firing a shot. And they mastered
the
art.
They're working on that.
They're masters at it. You talked about misinformation, disinformation. It has a very telling effect on the, firstly, morale of the defense forces itself who are fighting.
Yes.
You talked about civilian. Civilian population, domestic and global, you know, is very, very important. The mind gets totally tuned towards whatever narrative is being covered. So, the support to the government, you know, support to the one country to the other. So, that all depends on this misinformation, disinformation and the truth. Then, civilian population also plays a role in escalation of warfare. Now, you'll wonder, how is that? You know, the government comes under pressure. Like, I'll take an example. Like, Sindoor mein, now the event, whatever trigger event, this is very, very ghastly and this thing. The public perception was that we have to do something. And all were united this time. So, that, you know, puts the government under pressure that you have to respond in a suitable way. So, in actual war, you know, the wars are fought because of various reasons. But this information warfare can influence the public mind into pressurizing the government to do something or not to do something.
Neither, you rightly said in Russia-Ukraine war, so you remember that there was a misinformation campaign by the Russians that Ukraine troops are now surrendering. And the president has agreed, said that we will not fight war. Then it was found that it was a deep fake AI-generated video which was circulating.
Yeah.
So I think you have made a very right point, sir. And do you think, sir, this social media and digital platform are shaping the narrative during conflicts? And what kind of emerging technology do you see shaping the future of this information in conflict, sir? This is just
very true. See, what is happening is the social media and the proliferation and then internet being available nowadays. You take our country itself, yeah, we have progressed so much. Everyone is carrying smartphones.
I agree.
You know, the information is on their fingertips. I travel a lot. I meet a lot of people. I mean, the youngsters are so aware. That is one part of it. But, you know, you can't believe everything you see there. I just mentioned about videos coming out which are so realistic that you can't make out. So you have to fight technology with technology. So I write a lot. So I use the technology, you know, the artificial intelligence for corrections and for collation of information is very important.
Yes.
So last 10 days back, I had a problem. I use Grammarly.
Yeah.
So I started using it for rephrasing. So all my clients or all my people who take my articles, they said your AI content is coming very high.
Mm.
So then I realized that why is it coming high? Then I realized I started using Grammarly not only for correction but for rephrasing.
Editing.
For rephrasing to make
so
it
that
more
becomes
formal.
Their property.
So now what happens is when it rephrases, the
yes.
AI content comes high.
Yes.
Now I corrected that, I stopped using that. But now I learned in the process there are a whole lot of software which have come up which they call it humanized. So if the AI content is coming high or this thing, you press the button and he humanizes it. So similarly, there is a spy versus spy going on in the misinformation, disinformation domain. So you pick up a video which is very realistic, which is giving misinformation. Then you use technology to ascertain whether it is correct.
So it is like AI is checking you and you are checking AI. Like Vinayak was mentioning, group
yeah.
where somebody asked, he asked the group whether
yeah.
he's right or wrong. You are so dependent on AI,
yes.
you are believing him the more.
Yeah.
And like you remember, sir, in the computers, are you a robot? But the computer
yeah.
is asking you, are you
yeah.
a robot?
Yeah.
So this is very interesting.
No,
sir.
But Devesh, you will remember, you have been involved with cyber activity, cyber warfare, cyber issues long, long time, and that's your main domain. If you remember in cyber attacks also, you know that zero day attack. And every time an antivirus comes up, a new virus comes up.
Yes.
Same thing is happening here in the AI-dominated misinformation,
you're right,
disinformation.
Sir. You're right, sir.
So,
sir, this last question before we do the kind of a summary of this. Sir, now, what challenges do government and organization face in, like, how do I verify the information?
Yeah.
I mean, as you rightly said, if something wrong is going on,
yeah.
it might impact the morale of the troops as well as it will impact the social fabric of the country as well.
Yeah.
So, what measures, in your opinion, can be taken to counteract this misinformation and
yeah.
protect information integrity? And we generally call, like we were talking to Deputy, I'll not say that word, but we were discussing at the higher echelons, India should create some kind of a national level, framework where we can verify the information. So it is, I say, national integrated verifying framework where information comes, you verify it, whether it is right or wrong. But it will take time and it will take time to impress the leadership that shall we create that kind of a national level verifying framework of the narratives which are going on so that the people are presented with the truth, because it is a truth validation framework. I'll
yeah.
put it this way, sir.
Yeah.
So I would like your views on that part. How do the government or the organization handle these challenges of misinformation and disinformation which is going on?
Yeah, there are five or six things which can be done. You summed it up actually yourself very well. So one is, you know, credible information sharing platform. Like, you know, we had briefings during Ops Indoor.
Yeah.
If you remember Kargil war, I remember that model was very good.
Yeah.
You know, morning and evening the briefing used to take place and the MEA, MOD and the defense services always to give a picture of what is happening. So that came from the horse's mouth, as the saying says. So that dispels a lot of misinformation, disinformation. That is one. So you have a sort of framework where your truth is being validated. Second is, educating the public. That don't believe everything you see and hear on the social media. Authenticate it. And now what is happening is people have become very trigger happy here. So I get it. I put it on 15 groups immediately without even checking the credibility. So that fastest finger syndrome should stop. And you should authenticate. Now, a lot of platforms have already come up, where you can authenticate whether the news is correct or not. You put the news on that, it tells you, give you a degree of assurance also. With this degree of assurance, I'm telling you this is fake or not fake. Third is, we need a framework in the defense services as well as in the other directorates of other branches also, where social media is monitored. And moment you find that some misinformation, disinformation is taking place, to put in the social media, which is happening to some extent now in India also, saying that this is a fake news.
Correct.
Third thing is, international collaboration. You need to collaborate with the friendly countries also and say that this misinformation is taking place and this is the true picture. So that collaboration needs to be taking place. So you have to use technology also to fight the technology. That is the bottom line.
I think, sir, you have covered almost all the aspect of information warfare, drone warfare, and I can't think anybody else who has got this ability because of your experiences on the hem of the affairs in operations in multiple places. I think audience has benefited with your kind of pearl of wisdom, I'll say, and the great insight you shared with us, sir. Thank you so very much, sir, for sparing your time and enlightening the audience and especially me. I am fortunate that I worked with you and learned a lot. And this is a learning, sir. And I think the key points which you have made about in the last, the collaboration is important, the awareness is important, the collaboration with the international community is important to, control and this kind of misinformation and disinformation. Because in times to come, sir, society will be... We are globizens, and the interconnectivity between people, between nations is increasing tremendously, and technology is removing the latency part also. Whatever happens in US today, before you want to see it, is already on your phone.
Yes.
So that is the harm which can be created with the disinformation, because it travels so fast. Earlier it was a print media, something will come in the paper, you are waiting. And then you will read it, and you rightly said there were pamphlets to be dropped. Then radio people used to listen what is happening in the war. Today, war is live. It is a live telecast. Yeah. I think I very distinctly remember Prime Minister made a statement that when the war is going on, please avoid, taking pictures and putting on the social media. Because in the last, I'll not name, but it happened. We were giving a live coverage. Whether it was the Bombay counter terrorist operation or the operations which we have seen, whether the Kargil thing, everything was telecasted, sir. And when you are telecasting, your strategy is being going to the enemy and adversary. So I think you very rightly said that we have to make everybody aware, the military as well as the civilians, that what harm you will create when you are sharing mindlessly without even realizing what kind of information you are sharing. Wrong, right, A, bravo, maybe sensitive also at times. So, thank you very much, sir, for enlightening us. And it's indeed a privilege and honor to host you, sir. And I am very, very sure and confident that this DSCI security chip will actually, give the audience a deeper understanding of information warfare and drone warfare. And they are now enlightened. And again, one important message which has come out of this discussion is, they will not mindlessly forward whatever information comes to their smartphones. Thank you very much, sir.
Thank you so very much, sir.